April 25th, the year 3030. There is a strange feeling to everything I do today. Part of me is relieved that I no longer have to watch everyone with such suspicion, that the question of there being a spy among us has been answered, and the answer is a regrettable but resounding yes. But just below this feeling is another one. An icky notion I can't shake. It was almost an indulgence to think that it could be Liam, but I never really believed it. The thought of everywhere he has touched my body makes my skin feel like it is covered in a strange film, fuzzy marks of mingled intimacy and shame. His being a spy would explain why Liam tried to kill Clancy, likely tasked with removing enemy agents. But my mind is having trouble catching up as I move through a daze, going from splatter gun games to this harsh reality where Liam's hands are bound behind his back, sitting opposite me in the back of the van headed for Portua. The van hits a bump and all of us are lifted out of our seats. Stella lets out a low groan as her behind smacks back down. The van doesn't have any windows, and we are all cramped close together, side by side along the two long benches that stretch along the van's rear.
"Used to be a prison van,"
the driver explained, before he closed the door behind us and headed back to the front. The van stinks, and we're miserable. When we hit another bump, I instinctively look up as I grab a hold of my seatbelt, and there is Liam right across from me, staring at me with an imploring look, like he's trying to bore his innocence into my brain. I glare right back at him, my jaw clenched tight. The van hits another series of bumps, and we all let out collective little groans as we brace ourselves against the van's walls. Even the ever-cool Lars has rivulets of sweat running down his temples. But when I let my hand slide up against his beside me, he turns and smiles.
"How much longer?"
Blake looks to Rustin.
"Sir,"
he adds.
"We're close,"
Rustin says, but his voice is tired and quiet, like even he doesn't believe it. Like after 2 days of being stuck in here, this seems like our new endless reality. When the van pulls over an hour later, and the driver comes around to the back to open the door, none of us move. Our bodies too heavy with exhaustion. But then, the salty air of the ocean wafts into the van, covering the smell of our sweaty bodies, and our muscles loosen. As we rouse ourselves and grab our bags, the ache in my legs begins to cease. Being near the ocean makes me feel at home, and a wave of excitement moves through me when I realize we will be traveling across the water for the next 7 days.
"Have you ever been on a boat before?"
Lars asks me as he grabs his own bag and we start making our way down towards the beach. We wave our driver goodbye, but he doesn't bother returning the gesture and drives off. Then we file down to the rocky beach, the ocean breeze whipping our hair against our faces, the rocks tumbling gently as we walk across them.
"I haven't,"
I admit, though I have swum in oceans and rivers endless times.
"In that case, I'm excited I can be here for your first time."
Lars winks at me. "Being on a ship is the best way to travel."
"You make it sound like a vacation."
I laugh and taste the briny air.
"At this point, is it not?"
Lars looks over at Liam, bound and being guided by Rustin, who has a firm grip on his upper arm. The spy has been apprehended, after all.
"And it's not me," I joke.
"And it's not you,"
Lars confirms with a grin. "The Pinkdom is safe and will soon be out of our hands, so why not enjoy the journey?"
He's right.
I look ahead of us, and the ocean curls up around cliffs to our right, giving way to a placid harbor before us. The water is so clear that I can see the rocks beneath until the ocean drops off and turns a deep blue.
"Yeah, Let's make it a vacation.
I agree. I brought the famous Schnapsen from Gemischpata. Lars whispers behind me as we throw our bags into a small boat and get in. The largest bottle I could find. He adds with a smirk,
Oh yeah?
All of us get into the small boat. Without hesitation, Rustin pulls on what I assume is some sort of motor at the back. Keeping his eyes trained on Liam, he steers us towards the small ship out in the ocean. It's like he's on autopilot, just trying to get through it. Rustin must be exhausted, I realize, as he has been watching over Liam for the last 4 days, more or less by himself. First, the 2-day trek down the mountain and through the woods to Lickeni, and then for the duration of the van ride. The drive included an overnight stay in a makeshift camp for one night, and as I watch Rustin's face, I notice the dark rings under his eyes, the tenseness around his mouth. I wonder if Rustin stayed awake to watch Liam that entire night. Lars gently jabs me in the ribs and opens his bag just wide enough so I can see a bottle with strange green liquid sloshing around inside of it.
Europa agents, we have all the fun.
He laughs enticingly and closes his bag. The green liquid looks strange, but I have to admit, I could use a drink. When we get on the ship, there are 3 women waiting. One of them, Captain Cotarda, informs us of the ship's rules, of which I absorb only 3, since I am both exhausted and distracted by the beautiful cliffs and the ocean around us. When we are shown to our rooms, I remember only that the meals will be served above deck at dusk, that the lifeboats are at the back of the ship, and that we are not to enter into the water unless we are anchored and the captain has given express permission to do so. My cabin is little more than a tiny cubby, with room for a bed, but little else. A small round window overlooks the sea, and I peek out with a smile. We will be putting up anchor, and the bell will ring for dinner. Constance, one of the sailors, tells me before discreetly taking her leave. I close the door behind her and collapse onto the bed, just to find that I am unable to sleep. After tossing and turning for a few minutes, I give up and stare out through my tiny round window. Birds dive into the ocean, pulling up seaweed and small fish. There are lots of noises as the boat starts to go into motion. Clanking and thudding come from above, and then the ship lets out a groan and we begin to move. Instead of trying to sleep before dinner, I decide to explore the ship and maybe find Lars and that Schnapsen. The metal stairs clang beneath me as I run up to the top deck of the ship. It's beautiful. Portua is beginning to fade into a small dark blob behind us, and ahead is only water. I find that Lars is also above deck, sitting beside Rustin as they look engrossed in an intense conversation. I suppose the Schnapsen will have to wait. I lean against the railing and feel the salty air around me. The smell of seawater is invigorating, and my tiredness retreats. Small schools of fish appear along the side of the boat and then disappear just as quickly, veering off into unknown depth. Birds squawk and dive after prey my eyes aren't strong enough to see.
Couldn't sleep either.
Clancy comes up next to me and leans against the railing beside me.
Not really. I've never been on a boat and I got excited.
I smile at him.
I bet you did.
Clancy raises an eyebrow and looks over to where Lars is still talking to Rustin. It's the first time Clancy has made mention of the Lars and I situation.
I wonder what they're talking about.
Clancy says quickly, just as I am about to ask him if he feels strangely about my being with Lars.
Whatever it is, it looks serious.
I try to look casual as I turn my head over my shoulder and look over at them. Lars is gesticulating wildly with his hands, and Rustin is shaking his head and holding his forehead.
They've known each other a while, haven't they?
Clancy remarks, and I let out a low, mm-hmm, in support of this notion, but I don't actually know for sure. Hey there. Aileen, with Stella and Blake in tow, comes up the stairs and onto the deck.
Look serious.
Blake looks at us and nods towards Lars and Rustin. Probably about Liam. Aileen says, glancing over. I still can't believe it. I mean, he's a dick. But I didn't think he was, like, a spy-level dick.
Well, apparently he is.
Blake says solemnly.
Where is he, anyway?
No idea. Aileen answers and faces the ocean. Man, it's good to be close to water again. I didn't realize how much I missed it. She lets out a little exultant giggle. It feels like home, even on the ship. I face back to the ocean as well, and for a while we just watch the waves as we glide along, the silence only broken when words drift over from Lars and Rustin with the shifting winds.
Cell 4.
Rustin.
Not an option.
Lars.
Diplomat.
Rustin.
Danger.
Lars. Finally, we hear a scraping sound as Rustin gets up from his chair, nods at us curtly, and heads down the stairs.
Sir?
We all say in unison, as if we haven't just tried to eavesdrop for the last hour or so.
Everything all right?
I ask Lars when he comes over. Lars shakes his head.
Yes, no, it's complicated.
Your friend Liam apparently has an important diplomat father, so there are complications with his being arrested. So Liam wasn't lying about his dad being some sort of important figure in the Constitute.
But he's not going to get released, is he?
Aileen sounds alarmed by this.
I mean, we're all stuck on this ship together, and I for one would not be comfortable with that.
She looks genuinely terrified by the idea of Liam being set free to lurk around the halls.
No, of course not. But we are not sure what will happen when we get to Antigua Scotia. If his father catches wind of this, and we think he has, there is a chance that he will try to intervene and force the Kanda government to give him asylum so he cannot be formally charged in the UCOA.
That's crazy, I utter. Flashes of Liam trying to kill Clancy, the vials of pinkdom on his bed, the time he left me in that bedroom, all pop into my head at once.
He can't get away with it. He just can't.
Lars sighs. We will find out in 7 days when we dock. But for now, he looks around at us and sighs.
Let me go get the bottle of Schnapsen from my room. You all look like you could use it, and I know I do.
None of us object, and we move over to the other side of the ship, settling into the soft seats along the back of the boat. Lars returns with the large bottle and several glasses. We will have to share, he says as he sets down the glasses. These are all I could find in the kitchen before I got kicked out. We laugh, laughter weighted down by the bad news about Liam, but at least our mood is lifting a little. There are 6 of us and 3 short, thin glasses. Lars pours them to the brim and then grabs one and hands it to me. I raise an eyebrow as if to say, "You assume we're sharing," and he nods with a confident smile. In response to this, Clancy takes one as well and offers it to Aileen, who smiles and smells it. Since this has turned into a strange coupling off between the 6 of us, Stella grabs the last one, takes a sip, and hands it to Blake, who looks put off by the smell as well as the color.
What is in this anyway?
He asks Lars, to which Lars replies,
relaxation.
Suddenly, Liam's face flashes through my mind. How truly confused he looked when Rustin was searching his room in Gamishpata. How completely dumbfounded he was by the situation. And I hesitate when I consider his guilt. Without thinking, I put the glass to my lips and knock back all of it. The others hoot and laugh, and Lars looks at me in utter amusement and a little shocked.
What? Why are you looking at me like that?
I say, before I start coughing, it burns. It burns so bad, I want to say, but my words turn into rasping gasps.
Because of that.
He laughs so hard his body shakes.
Oh, Kara.
I choke out.
What is in?
I turn and face the ocean, closing my eyes, and the burning subsides. I wipe the tears from my cheeks and laugh, holding up the empty glass. This is Schnapsint. It is meant for sipping. But even as my throat still has a lingering burn, warmth is spreading through my stomach, and when Lars refills the glass, I don't object. Clancy's interest in Lars and me from earlier seems to have vanished, and he refills and offers Aileen their glass as soon as they have finished theirs as well. She smiles at him, and I can almost feel something growing between them that wasn't there even just an hour earlier. Meanwhile, Stella is trying to coax Blake into drinking their glass of Schnapsint, but after a few perfunctory sips, he curls his mouth into a grimace and resigns himself to fending off her attempts at making him drink the green liquid.
"It tastes like something I'd use to clean my gun,"
he grunts and heads downstairs to see if he can coax some beer out of the cook instead.
"You won't have much luck," Lars laughs. "These glasses almost cost me my life."
Our muscles ease as the Schnapsint fills our bellies and we lean back, taking sips and staring out onto the ocean as the sun starts to dip lower.
"I hope this was all worth it,"
Lars mumbles into my ear as I am leaned against him, looking out onto the blue of water and sky. "What, getting the Pinctum to Canda?" I can feel him nod against my hair.
"And if not, at least I got to meet you."
There is too much Schnapsint in me to stiffen, and he adds,
"And maybe more than meat."
But he directs this at the sea and the open sky, and the sun dipping downward, as if it's a prayer. For the first time, I wonder if maybe I will say yes to his offer.
"No luck."
Blake comes back up the stairs.
"I knew it,"
Lars laughs. "The cook does not like us being in the kitchen." A bell rings out, announcing that dinner is about to be served. We head down to the main deck and take our seats. Rustin is already sitting at the head of the table, the bag with the Pinctum securely strapped to his chest. He eyes us with worry as we sit down.
"I see you all had fun,"
he says and shoots a glance at Lars.
"We were relaxing," Lars says. "You should try it someday, Rustin."
Rustin smiles weakly and rubs his eyes, making him seem more like a tired child than our commander.
"Maybe someday when I've retired."
At this, Rustin gets a faraway look.
"I will retire to Portua and live a life of leisure on their beaches."
"Huzzah!"
Lars lifts his glass, filled with green.
"To Rustin's retirement."
We are served freshly roasted fish, an entire fish per person, and some sort of side dish, yellow and mushy, yet of such wonderful flavor I could eat it to popping. The Schnapsint flows freely, and when it's almost half empty, Lars comments that he wished he'd bought a second bottle, as even Rustin relents and takes a small glass of it. Eventually, the cook yields and brings Blake a sweet wine so he isn't left out. When we are finished with dinner, the cook comes over to Rustin and places an extra dish beside him on the table. The fish on this plate, however, is already cubed and will not require any utensils to eat.
"One of you?"
Rustin looks around the table and his eyes land on me.
"Rose, you're with me."
I stand without hesitation. Rustin's commands and my obedience are so entwined from my training. Rustin looks down at the full plate beside him and nods at it. While everyone else resumes their dinner, I can feel them watching me as I go and pick up the plate to follow Rustin down the hall and below deck. "Sir, may I ask where we are going?" Our footsteps ting as we make our way to the back of the boat. We pass my room and stop.
"Wait here a moment,"
Rustin says without answering my question and opens the door to the room beside mine. It must be his, I realize, and make a mental note of sneaking to Lars's room later that night and not vice versa, lest Rustin hear us. A moment later, Rustin reappears, and I realize the Pinctum is no longer strapped to his chest.
"I don't want it anywhere near him,"
Rustin explains, and I nod.
but apparently we can't let the little brat starve to death either, or his father would have my head.
Rustin continues down the echoing hallway, and they hurry after him. At the end of the hallway, Rustin opens the door to a tiny, dank room that I suspect is merely a closet. Up against the wall, Liam is sitting on the cold floor tied to a pipe. He is blinking wildly as the light from the hallway floods his makeshift cell.
Rose, please hold the plate so the prisoner can eat.
I look at Rustin, and even though I dare not contradict him, I hesitate at this.
Can't we just untie him, sir? To eat, at least?
My voice is controlled, and Liam seems to have finally adjusted to the light, grimacing at me as I loom over him with the plate in my hand.
After what he's done, I'd rather not risk it.
Rustin's tone is so formal, it sounds forced. And is forced, I think. But I am left with no choice. Even though I am furious with Liam, it's very hard to remain this angry when he looks this miserable. The skin of his face looks slightly green, and I notice that there is vomit next to him in the tiny cell.
Are you all right?
I can't help but ask, still looking around the tiny cell, grimacing at the smell.
Seasick.
He whispers through chapped lips and attempts a smile, but falters.
Go figure. I wanted to travel around the world on Constitute missions, but I get sick both from flying as well as from sea travel.
A short, hoarse laugh escapes him, and he eyes the food wearily.
You have to eat, I say.
At the same time, I want to ask him what he was thinking. Why did he try to kill Clancy? What was he going to do with the pinkdom? Why do any of it at all? But Liam shakes his head and my questions fade from my mind.
Can you keep it down?
Liam shakes his head again.
I think I'd have to be above deck, and then just maybe.
He eyes Rustin from beneath heavy lids.
And that's not going to happen. You have 5 minutes and then the food disappears,
Rustin says.
I just don't want you telling your father I didn't at least try to feed you.
A strange rasping escapes Liam, and I realize he is laughing.
My father won't give a shit what you did to me. Not after what you tell him what you claim I did.
Now there is something else in Liam's eyes. A familiar malice. The kind I remember seeing right before he'd do or say something that would be seemingly regretful to anyone but Liam.
Why are you pinning this on me, Rustin? Got sick of training up the kiddies at the Constitute. Get a better offer in the Northern Pacific, huh? You know you'll never get away with this.
But as he says these last words, a strange, defeated air overcomes Liam's face, because he is tied up in a closet in the middle of the ocean. If Rustin really did try to pin this on him, I'd say he succeeded.
Let's go, Rose.
I stand shakily, wobbly from the schnapsent.
You can have his fish if you want,
Rustin says as he nudges me out of the way to lock the door.
Okay,
I say obediently, and follow Rustin back up on deck where everyone is still enjoying dinner. I set the plate down on top of my own empty one, but don't touch Liam's meal. Lars gives me a quizzical look, but I just shrug and gesture that I will tell him later. We keep drinking. Rustin excuses himself not long after, saying he has to get up early. We wander back up to the top deck, fairly drunk, and I push Liam from my mind. I also can't help but notice that Aileen and Clancy have been going toe to toe with us on the refilling of their shared cup, and are starting to sneak quick touches they don't think anyone notices. Clumsy fingers grazing one another as they pass the glass, lingering hands when one of them laughs at the other's joke, leaning in towards each other as if all words are whispers. Stella is trying to interest Blake, but as she is the only one that has been drinking the schnapsen from her cup for two, he is not as drunk as she and soon excuses himself to go to bed, leaving her too drunk and alone on one of the long seats.
Oh, this was fun,
she says in a sarcastic tone while eyeing the four of us, Then she hiccups once and leans back with her eyes closed.
We should wake her before we head back down,
Clancy says, and Aileen agrees.
She would have the worst day if Rustin finds her up here in the morning.
It's quiet for a moment, and then Clancy turns to me.
Was the food for Liam?
I nod. Turns out he's seasick, though. Another silence before I add, I'm not sure he did it. Clancy looks at me and frowns.
Harper, he tried to kill me.
He tried to what? It sounds like a screech, but then Aileen catches herself, asking again, in a low, urgent tone.
What do you mean, Liam tried to kill you?
During the final mission, it doesn't matter, Clancy says and gives me a hard look.
Because, at least for now, he's detained and we're safe.
I remember the look on Liam's face, the way he stared at Rustin with pure hatred.
Yeah, you're right. He just looked so sickly down there. Not really like a big evil spy, you know?
Yeah, well, that is what they do. Lars says and rubs my shoulder. Pretend to look like something they're not. In response, I grab the bottle of Schnapsent and refill our glasses, and for the second time that night, I slug it down in one shot, to the applause of everyone on deck, minus Stella, who has fallen into a deep sleep. The night is beautiful. The stars are so bright, they illuminate the deck and dance around us in our drunkenness. We sing songs from home for Lars, and he is drunk enough to try and sing along, memorizing some of the words as we go, while making up the rest. Our laughter tumbles from the deck and into the night air until our voices begin to sound husky and it becomes hard to stay awake. Under the guise of helping Stella to her bed, Clancy lifts one shoulder and Aileen the other as they shuffle down the stairs. I have no doubt they will visit only one bed after bringing Stella to hers. Lars and I stay a moment longer, while we can hear the muffled giggles of Clancy and Aileen and the intermittent groans of Stella, which results in more giggles from the other two.
I hope they get her to bed safely,
Lars says, looking out onto the water, dancing black waves under the moon. I'm sure they'll do just fine. I let my head rest against his shoulder and breathe in the air of the sea stuck to his shirt, mixed in with the scent of his skin.
We should go down as well.
Have to go to your room, I mumble, suddenly incredibly tired. Rustin is right next to mine. Don't want him to see you leaving in the morning.
I could talk to him. We're friends. He'll understand.
But I wave him off. It's all right. Lars sighs, and I force myself awake. You all right?
You say this as if it doesn't matter because soon you'll be gone.
The sleepiness washes over me again. When did I get this tired? We'll see, I murmur into his shirt, and I can feel him kiss the top of my head before everything goes black. Kara, I groan. My head is a ball of fiery pain, and I want to drink the ocean in a single gulp. When I turn to my right, I can see that both Lars and I are still fully dressed, and that we are not in my room, but in his. Small mercies, I think to myself. I can see through the tiny circular window that the sky is gray and that the sun will rise within the hour. Gently, I kiss Lars on the mouth, to which he murmurs loving words, and then creep out of his room and into the hallway. The door gently clicks shut behind me, and I walk to the other side of the ship, where the hallway leads to my own room. Inside, I find my canteen and gulp the water down. It's not nearly enough, and so I linger by my bed, hover there, trying to decide if I want to make the trip to the kitchen for more water. A strange thud hits the wall to my left, and I stare at it, waiting for it to make sense, the canteen still in my hand. Then a second thud, quieter this time. The door to Rustin's room opens and closes. I know he said he was going to get up early, but the sun hasn't even started to rise. A strange feeling in my chest competes with my thirst. Might as well go get some fresh water, I mutter to myself and let myself out into the hallway. When I slip outside, I can see the outline of someone heading towards the back of the ship, and then up the stairs at the other end of the hallway. I only catch a short glimpse, but the shoulders from which the pinkdom bag is slung are more that of a boy's than a man's, narrow and lean. Meanwhile, Rustin is short, but he's wide and menacing. The figure moves further up the stairs and out of sight, making almost no sound on the metal rungs. For a moment, I hesitate, look down at the empty canteen in my hand, and feel my thirst burning. But then I secure the canteen to my belt and head into the opposite direction of the kitchen, towards the back of the ship.